voice as a writer is very evident in this piece. It's got a really strong narrative structure, and clearly there's an invented character in the Marie.
Yes.
Obviously not, it's not based
no,
on
it's not
words.
Verbatim, no. But it is based on a character a lot of the women told me about.
Mm.
Yeah.
I felt like you avoided that awkward voyeuristic feel because you did have this really strong narrative invented structure, that it felt more like a communal story, a shared story, as opposed to, oh, let's just milk this person's trauma.
Well, you know, I talked about a found narrative with Run Rabbit Run. You know, I talked about the public sort of narratives, the lost, the lost, the gain. It's the same thing, even though with the Parramatta Girls there wasn't this public narrative, I felt like I needed to invent a narrative very, very simply in this case. They come to the reunion, they look around, they leave. It's very simple, but it still gives the story a trajectory to run, and we know that there's going to be a climax when they all come together and wash away their pains and, you know, perform that ritual. I'm very keen on that in verbatim, in finding some sort of narrative, however simple, because I do think it avoids just, okay, well, let's just have one horror and then let's traumatise them even more. There's no theatre in that. There's no drama in that, really.
Well, this was like a fictionalised reality.
Yeah, I call it massaged verbatim.
Can you talk about that process? Where does your imprint as the artist lie in this construction?
Okay, so I started doing the interviews, and a big part of the women's experience was that they hadn't been believed. So I wrote a draft and got some feedback on it from Eamon Flack, I think it was, at Belvoir Street, and from Neil. I wrote another draft and we had a public reading, and it was very much verbatim, pure verbatim. It was the women telling their stories as direct address. They all came to that reading, and afterwards we talked about it. They came on stage and told a bit more of their story, and the audience were, you know, mutually horrified as we were by the fact that this happened in Australia only very recently, and that this had happened to women who were still alive and carrying the legacy of that experience. Then I went away and started to collapse the stories together. And I, in fact, wrote a draft where I started to bring in some characters who were like the children of some of the women, because a lot of them were talking to me about the continued legacy, their inability to express love to their children, their mothering problems, the things that they'd done to the children that they were ashamed of, the inability of the kids to talk to them about what had happened to them and the way their families denied it. The guards, I hadn't actually talked to any guards from Parramatta. I'd talked to some guards at Hay, which was another play I wrote, Eyes to the Floor, which is also where the Parramatta girls were sent. But I started to write characters that were the guards. So I started writing all these people around the women, and we had another public reading. And that was starting to find these narratives, trying to take the disparate interviews and put the narratives together. And afterwards, Neil Armfield said to me, I can see what you're trying to do and it's really interesting, but, you know, honestly, we're not interested in anything other than the women. We really just want to hear the women. We know that their children are important and, yes, it's kind of interesting, the legacy, but really we just want to hear from the women. So I went away and wrote another draft where I started to construe relationships between the women. I had done an interview with one woman, Judy, who is the character in the play who talks about having had the relationship with the superintendent. And remarkably, I then did an interview with another woman who talked about the Judy character and talked about her residual resentment of that character. And I suddenly realised that these two had never met, but that they'd been in the home at the same time, and that this woman was still carrying anger and misunderstanding of this woman who I had also interviewed. So I started actually construing a drama that happened between them, and wrote a third draft. We did a public reading, and it was an absolutely wonderful event. Again, all the women came.
They never actually met, those two women.
Those two had never met. In fact, this one came to the second reading, one came to the third. So it was this sort of excruciating thing. And the one who had been having the relationship with the superintendent said to me, oh, I never realised how much people disliked me. And I thought, wow, this is really amazing. So did this reading, and by then the women had become inured to the idea that there was going to be this massaging happening. You know, a couple of them said to me, oh, I still recognise that bit of what I said there, and la, 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 la. And I was very keen to get permission from the women to be able to still use their names, but to collapse the stories. And because we had these three public readings, they came along, you know, they were trusting. So then we went to the production and the opening night, and on that opening night, the two women who I talked about came, and I was in the foyer. It still gives me shivers up my spine. They actually looked at each other and then they hugged each other, and it was just the most amazing thing. But one of them, the one who was the envoy with the superintendent, came up to me at the bar later and said, you know, you can't let her get away with all that you do in the play. She's got to be tougher on us. So she was trying to get me to, telling me to how to write the character. And I kept then, of course, say, well, look, it's not you. That character's not you and this other woman. You know, it's a kind of a version of that, and she sort of accepted that. But it's bizarre and it's interesting, and other verbatim writers will say that often those little things can become much bigger once you put them up on the public stage, and that you're both a participant and an observer. You have to be aware that you are participating in their lives and their history. And for me, that's part of an ethical commitment. I was really keen that all the women I spoke to, and again, I would have spoken to about 30, had some connection to a Parramatta Girls network. And they didn't all like each other by any means, and some of them would very vituperatively speak about others, but they all had some connection. And sometimes women would get my flyer and would ring me up, and I would say, you know, are you connected? Oh no, I've never spoken to anyone. And I would listen to them, but I didn't put their story in the play. I was really clear that if I was going to open anybody up about something they hadn't spoken about for 30 years, that they somehow have someone else to talk to about it.
So with the eight characters in the play, are some of those conglomerates of...
They're all conglomerates. Oh, okay. Yeah, they're all conglomerates.
But they're real people's names.
They're real people's names, yes. Because I wanted
Why
to
that
say...
decision?
Well, I wanted to honour the core group of women who had told me so much of their stories. And there were about eight or nine who were really very candid. And others augmented their candour. And I just wanted to honour them. And I just felt that using fake names wasn't the way to go for me.
Yeah.